Next up, Mike Earhart, the CEO of Prairie Ag Horizons. He's a chemist by trade, I guess, so we might get to see a few formulas up here, maybe? No? All right. Anyway, they've put a little different twist on the biodiesel thing. They're going to renewable diesel, as I understand. But I'll let Mike talk about it.
These tall people you have to follow up behind just make it more apparent that I'm a little guy. So I'm surprised they didn't put a box back here that I can stand on. Well, good morning. Mike Earhart. I'm the CEO and General Manager of Prairie Horizon Agri Energy. I'm going to go at this a little bit different than what you've seen on prior presentations. So without further ado, let's take a look at this picture real quick on some of the things that we've done with our plant. I am very quickly stop telling you that I'm an ethanol plant. I am a biorefinery. So we're moving into biorefining as well. I don't like ethanol plant. An ethanol plant is, I think that's an old term. It's antiquated. And I think it's now time that we become a biorefinery and we start talking about it and we start touting about it. One of the first things we did with our plant, if you look off to the left here in the lower left-hand part of the screen, that's our lawn. The backside is where all the work takes place, and we're doing some construction back there. But if when you drive into our facility, you got beautiful grass. It's nice. It's clean. It looks really good. And the first thing you think is, wow, they got a nice yard. When a regulator pulls up, I want them to look at the grass and how nicely cut it is and how clean it is, because automatically has an opinion that, boy, this must be a well-run facility. Right? So when he walks into the door, he's greeted by people and they smile and they go, hey, welcome. You know, that's kind of the first thing that we did when we went through and evaluating what we wanted to become. You guys, I got to be just like everybody else. So we're located in Phillipsburg, Kansas. That's north central Kansas, kind of out in the middle of nowhere where all of us seem to be. We're a nameplate 40 million gallon plant. Of course, can I do 50? Yeah. Can we do 52? Yeah. But we're nameplate 40, and I'll always be a nameplate 40. If I'm a 100 million gallon plant, I'm going to be a nameplate 40. All right? Okay. We grind milo and corn. That was one of the stumbling blocks for us that you guys up here, one of the reasons I joined ACE was because I wanted to get to know you all, because you're up north. You're one of them. And we're kind of one of those guys down there, right? When you're a Milo guy, you're kind of, you know, we're kind of the poo-poo guy, right? They do Milo. Okay, ooh, that's not a really preppy, you know, that's not a really cool crop, you know? So, but because we do Milo, it really slowed us down on some things. And you'll begin to pick up on that here in just a minute. We began operations in 2006. We paid that rascal off in 2013. That's really important because we wanted to pay it off ahead of time, because we wanted to get investor confidence in what we were doing, because, oh my, what we're doing. And so now the investors are looking at, I invested in an ethanol plant, and now I have this thing called a biorefinery. What does that mean? So what we did is innovation drives opportunity. So way back in the very beginning, went through all the yeast trials, enzyme trials, all the textbook changes. We had new vendors bringing all kinds of really great ideas, and we wanted to try them all. We looked at a lot of different things. But years ago, we had the goal that we wanted to become a biorefinery and no longer be associated with just an ethanol plant. Guys, there's just something about when I go up to somebody, especially in Washington, and I say, I'm Mike Earhart, I have an ethanol plant. I'm Mike Earhart, and I'm the CEO and general manager of a biorefinery. Oh, you're oil and gas. Get it? I'm serious. It gets me in the door in places you don't get. So think about it. You might try kind of changing that up a little bit. So what makes us different and what set us apart? That's kind of a tricky little rascal. Got to get me one of these. Give this to some of my employees. It'll drive them nuts, won't it? Okay. So over time, we got comfortable with the existing changes and other companies brought in their ideas, and we got all excited and we did all these trials. And one thing that we learned from all these trials that we did was we were taking your word for it. If you're a vendor, I'm taking your word for what we were doing. And we go along, and I was all happy with that because I'm not that smart, and I always thought the vendor was smarter. And then I went to a deal in with Novozymes, and Cam Fowler, I don't know, Cam, if you're in the room, thank you. And he said, I'm going to take a group of people, and you need to look how to statistically look at the data in your plant. Not only how you operate, but make sure you look at all your trials. Run it through a program and take a look at it statistically. Now, I'm a chemist and a microbiologist. That's my training. That's what I went to school to do. I actually went to school to work on the AIDS virus, but that's another story. I was back there when it was just a number. But anyway, so you take it and you start looking at your own data. And then I started taking data from all these trials, and I said, now, wait a minute. Does this really apply to how we operate? You guys are so unique and have developed such refined processes. We're no longer the same anymore. We have stainless steel piping. We have stainless steel tanks. But our processes and the way we think about things are so different. You guys are awesome. What you have developed into over the year is phenomenal. So we started learning and trusting our own data. Something, too, you need to have a way to keep track of the trials that you've done from 10 years ago to now. It's funny how some of this stuff cycles around. And if you haven't seen that, it what they used to do and kind of how they're doing it now, but they've refined it, you can go back and go, oh, yeah, I did that. And I did use a low-temperature cook. Or I did raise temperature a little bit, or whatever we did, and you go back and look at that data, and that becomes a part of your analysis you bring forward and look for the noise in your process. So then, yeah, there you go, that's renewable diesel. We'll get to that in a minute. Okay, so then here's what we did. We switched to an enzyme. We stopped using anhydrous ammonia. That was a PSM, wonderful thing to do. Took ammonia out of the front end. We had a lot of luck with that. We made some adjustments. We used Scientech technology to enhance our enzyme activity. That's a technology that kind of gets down to the raw enzyme itself and improves the activity. We installed WB's pre-condenser. I think a lot of you have that in here. If you don't have a pre-condenser, look at it. There are several companies, I believe, that will provide that. We chose WB. But, boy, I'll tell you what, when you pull that alcohol out of your CO2, and we're getting about 1,200 gallons a day out of that, I mean, that's just a lot of money. You know what I mean? I mean, that's just $1,200 a day. Well, more than that, $2,400 a day, whatever. So it's just pure profit. We de-superheated going to EDVAP 4. We reconfigured heat exchangers. And here's the thing that you're going to look at. We're just now installing our oil separation. You guys up here are going, man, are you behind times and you're part of an innovators panel? We've been doing this for years, right? It's true. But I grind Milo. And Milo puts a whole different perspective on things that you guys that only have the opportunity to do corn, you don't have that, those complications and those opportunities by using Milo. So at the end of the day, Dave and his group came up with a way we can do distiller's corn oil separation, but also get a yield off of our Milo, and it became feasible to do it. So the process that we use, tweaky, tweaky, and now we have distiller's corn oil, same as you do. We also installed the SMT system. I'm not here as an infomercial for ICM or WB, either one, but the SMT, we're installing that because we're going into corn oil and because we do Milo and because we're doing a few other things. We believe we want to get as refined of a particle going through the plant as we can get. And I think that's going to change all of our statistical analysis and make things look quite a bit different as we get into putting these processes into action. Now let's get into what we came here to talk about, is renewable diesel. Yeah, biodiesel, renewable diesel, cellulosic, we got standard ethanol production and so on. We chose to go with renewable diesel because I didn't like the biodiesel concept, because I wanted to do something greater and better with my distiller's corn oil than going into a biodiesel. And I'm not being controversial, because it fits your plan, okay? But I'm in the middle of nowhere, and I just didn't think I'd get the yellow grease, and I just didn't think I'd get the other things that I needed to get into a biodiesel. And the thing I liked about renewable is I'm a drop-in fuel. I don't need anyone else to blend anything. I'm a drop-in fuel. I produce it. When I'm done with it, it comes out of the tank. You can put it in your vehicle and drive off with it. No one's going to tell me that I'm going to hold you hostage to blend that material. Okay? That was my intent and purpose. That's what we did, and we're succeeding at it. Renewable diesel has some advantages, has some disadvantages. First off, here's the plant. This is the green energy plant at Sedgwick, Kansas. There we go. And Green Energy Partners we're part owner in that. WEB's part owner in that. There's a couple of other individuals that are a part of that. But what Green Energy was, it was plant one in the renewable diesel business, because if you've all ever gone for financing, even on your new biodiesel with using enzymatic processes, that was probably enough difference. There's probably some explanation that had to take place with people that are going to finance you, because they don't understand it. Because what are you? You're an ethanol plant, and you're bad, and you're going to go broke, and anything you do is bad, and that's just the way it works out. So when you go to someone, you had to have plant one somewhere before you go to other ethanol plants and try to put this as an add-on to their business. So this is what we did. Plant one's in Sedgwick, Kansas, Green Energy Partners, and it's operational. It's important that it became operational. So I as number one, part owner and number one, owner of number two, so there'll be a 3, 4, and 10 coming up behind us. There needs to be more renewable diesels because there's lots of opportunities there. So this is what it looks like. Here's some of the... here's the plant as a whole. You got the fracking towers there. You got all the other pipings and all. You saw where I skipped past it. There's a little schematic of what we've got. It does not represent an ethanol plant. It doesn't look like it, doesn't smell like it, doesn't operate like it. So one of the things that we do is we're going to have to train up a whole specialty crew and so on to be able to run this girl. There's another view of it. Just wanted to let you know it's a real piece of equipment, and here's kind of the plant in a nutshell when you pull all the pipes and pumps and everything away. It's a very simple plant. The thing that I like about this plant, if you look down at the very bottom, it's a straight line right across the bottom. Those two little square boxes that are just kind of in the bottom third, those are your air coolers. And we don't use water coolers, we use air coolers. And from there, all the rest of the process is on the north side. The reason I'm saying this is, and the reason that is important, is because I can flip this plant. So if I want to go from a 3 to a 6, I've got the infrastructure already there to do it. All I got to do is add on to the south side of the plant. When I go from a 6 to a 12, I just flip it again. You see what I mean? So when you're laying out your footprint and so on, you got to look at a flop and a flip, okay? as you build out to know where you're going to put your tanks and where you're going to put your other equipment. But this is kind of the overall view of what it looks like and kind of the different components that make up the major operation of the plant. It's pretty simple. It is a refinery. It's a hydrocracking process. I have hydrogen, high temperature, high pressures, we crack the molecule, and at the end of the day, we get diesel. The only way you can tell renewable diesel from regular diesel is to do a carbon footprint. That's the only difference. We sent out renewable diesel for a third-party evaluation. It came back, it's diesel fuel. So the only difference was to carbon date it, and nobody really cares. And plus, one of the cool things is we add sulfur What's one of the problems that regular fuels have? You have to take the sulfur out. We have to add sulfur to it so you get enough lubricity in the engine to make it operational in engines. Okay, let's wrap this up. So we went WB. WB has spent a lot of time and put a lot of energy into the development of renewable diesel. The first plant, like I said, was in Sedgwick. It's going to be a nameplate of 3 million. I got a kick out of my friend from Atkins who says, well, it's got a kind of a nameplate of this plus. So we're going to be a 3 million plus because I think this girl is going to put out more. But just to be safe, it's 3 million gallons. We've gone through third-party analysis. We've proven the pathway to the EPA, and the technology works, so therefore makes financing a whole lot easier when you can say, well, this one works. You want to go. You can touch it. You can smell it. You can feel it. It's operational, so banks are more likely to loan you the money. We have funding. I know Plant 3 has funding, so, you know, it's looking good. It gives us an avenue for our distiller's corn oil. Randy, it's distiller's corn oil, buddy. It's not corn oil. I apologize for leaving that little word out. He sort of schooled me on that last night or the night before. And because DCO, this is not an edible corn oil. It's distiller's corn oil, right? It's an advanced fuel. It's easily expanded. You get a yield that says this, and this is kind of it in a nutshell. For every 100 gallons of oil that we use, we're going to produce 90 gallons of renewable, 8 to 9 gallons of other fuels, and I'll talk to you about that in just a second, and the remaining gallons are water. That other fuel is a low BTU propane or naphtha. I'm going to take the BTUs, the low BTU propane, I'm going to put it back into the ethanol plant and either run it through the dryer, probably that's where it'll go, or through the RTO, but it'll probably go back into the dryer. The naphtha I'm going to use as a denaturant, so it's going to be sold back to the ethanol plant to be used for that. And then the excess water, we'll clean it up and we'll send it down the pipe. It's at this time, I won't reuse in the plant. There's too many weird volatiles in it, and it's, you know, it's a whopping, I think, 6 gallons a minute. So it's not a whole lot, or 3 gallons a minute. It's an exothermic reaction, so we generate excess heat. Excess heat, I love that term. So what are we going to do with that? I don't know. Okay, but there's opportunity there, right? So, how are we going to use that? So that's one of those things that we're kind of quandarying on. I would like to take the excess steam and maybe run it through a turbine, a little mini turbine, and generate some electricity with it. And then whatever steam's left over, maybe we can convert that water in and use it for something else. Just thinking. So the financial return, it goes like this. Renewable diesel prices about what heating oil plus your D4 RIN. Heating oil plus D4 RIN. D4s were, 84 cents here a couple of days ago. Diesel fuel is, $3.30 or something like that. So you do the ought, and the ought, and it really, you know, pays off pretty good. The market is in California. We're going to the same places that all my other friends are wanting to go and hit because of CARB, you know, and the intensity. I mean, California just loves this stuff. So that's where all this will go. And the millions that follow this will head there as well. The Performa shows a 3 to 5 year payout. I think we'll do it in 3 unless the government throws us for a curve or something weird happens. The neat thing that you can tell everybody in your community just loves it, we're going to create 9 new jobs day one, 9 brand new jobs. 2 persons on a shift, 1 maintenance person, all the administrative, we're going to do exactly what our friends at Atkins are doing, and all of the my existing people will take care of the bookwork and all of this health and safety and all those issues, but it's going to take 9 people to make it run. I like that. I like creating new jobs. I like creating opportunity for people. And again, this is a refinery job. It's not an ethanol job, so you got to look at things a little bit different. Biorefining, folks, as I conclude, there's a lot of great ideas out there. We've got vendors that just spend hour after hour looking at new and different ways, and there's always a better mousetrap. I think that we need to look at ourselves as biorefining. I'm gonna pound that in. I've got about 10 years, 12, 15 years left in the business. So that's kind of my charge, is we are a biorefinery. And currently, we're working on some ways to reduce distillers' grains and other materials and convert that into high-margin opportunities. A lot of protein in that distillers' grains, a lot of fiber in that distillers' grains, a lot of other stuff in there. And I don't want to digest it, even though earlier one of the speakers talked about that wasn't a bad idea. Once you digest something, you destroy it. And I want to maintain the integrity of that distillers to do other things with it. And two, I'm a geek. And as a geek, there's always something different to do with it. So you never want to say it's the end on any process. So anyway, that's kind of what we're doing. Kind of a quick overview of things. If you got any questions or anything like that, you can see me a little bit later. I doubt if I have very many answers, but I'll sure give it my best shot. And thank you for the opportunity to speak to you. You're an awesome group of people. Thank you.